This is the Roots of Rock monthly jam session. Here's your host, Sean Tompkins.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins. Welcome to the March 2018 Roots of Rock monthly jam session. Hopefully, wherever you are, things are going well. I happen to live in Canada, and March means spring, which also means the snow is melting, which also means a lot of the frozen dog crap that has accumulated over the winter is all thawing at once, so that's really pleasant. But only a pessimist would dwell on what's happening down at their feet during a time like this. So I'm looking up at the bright sunshine, feeling the warmth on my shoulders, and life is good, my friends. Life is good, except for the fact that I broke my wrist playing hockey. But again, silver linings. I've been relegated to the couch for a couple weeks, so the silver lining there is that I've had a lot of extra time on my one hand to come up with some really cool stuff for the show. But, before we get to today's show, I want to tell you about next month's full feature episode on Roots of Rock. It's going to be amazing. I had the chance to talk to Shane Volk, lead singer of One Bad Son. Shane is a really cool guy to talk music and influences with. We chatted for a good 45 minutes, and it really felt like we could have talked all day. He's got the bug bad for rock and roll, and you can really tell. So I'm working on that interview, and I'm going to edit in and mix in all the music that we talked about, and it's going to end up being a really cool thing. It's going to be an insider's view of how influences work, and he's going to be a part of the whole episode. You guys are going to love it. It's going to be great, and I can't wait to share it with you. So that's next episode, but on this episode, you're going to get the full interview with Donna Halper. If you're a regular Roots of Rock listener, you will remember her. She's the lady that discovered Rush back in the day and gave them their first big break at a legendary station in Cleveland called WMMS. She's got some amazing stories, and I got some great feedback from the short edited interview that I played in that full feature episode. So if you like that, you're going to love the full interview. And if you haven't heard that full feature episode of Roots of Rock, where we did an in-depth analysis on Rush, go back one episode and check it out. What's that noise? I can hear some kind of racket going on outside the studio. What is that? I'm gonna go check it out. Hang on. I'm going to throw to Poncho Parker for the Rock Flash. I'm going to go see what's happening. I'll be right back. Take it away, Poncho.
Ever since AC/DC completed their tour 2 years ago, a trek that weathered the forced retirement of co-founder Malcolm Young and the departures of Brian Johnson, drummer Phil Rudd, bassist Cliff Williams, fans have wondered whether soul founding member Angus would keep the band going, and it appears he's going to stay the course. He's working on new music and intends to have GNR frontman Axl Rose, who took Johnson's place on the road, sing on the album. Some fans aren't happy to see AC/DC without any of those key members. Others have said it's about the songs. People want to hear the songs. Johnson was forced to leave the band mid-tour due to a dangerous level of hearing loss. Phil Rudd was dismissed following a drug arrest. Williams decided to retire at the end of the cycle. Malcolm Young was diagnosed with dementia several years ago and has since passed away. Ozzy Osbourne has filed a lawsuit against AEG, claiming that the concert agency is blackmailing him. The singer has alleged that the agency is using a practice called block booking to force him to perform at the Staples Center against his wishes. He claims that AEG added a provision stating if Ozzy played an indoor arena within 25 miles that was promoted by a competitor, he would have to play the AEG-owned Staples Center as well. I'm Poncho, that's your Rock Flash.
Thank you, Poncho. And you know what? I figured out what that noise was. Two little munchkins were running around the studio, and now they're actually in the studio. I'm thinking maybe I'm gonna put them to work. I don't think I'll be breaking any child labor laws in the process, but hang on a sec. Hang on. You two go sit down over there in front of those microphones. I'm just going to reach over and pot you up. Hang on. There we go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Cool.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Holy cow, your microphone is huge.
I can't see you, though. I can't see you both.
Hi.
I'm recording you, you know.
Restart?
I don't think so. There's no second takes. This is Roots of Rock. It's the big time. Silence.
Cool.
What's your name? You first.
Presley.
Little ones first. Presley. Welcome to Roots of Rock, Presley.
Thank you.
What about you, other one?
I'm Sammy.
Sammy, welcome to Roots of Rock. Are you excited to be on Roots of Rock?
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a game. Do you guys like games?
Yeah.
This is called... what should we call it? Maybe you guys can help me name it. I'm gonna play a song, and it's a rock and roll song that probably everybody listening is gonna know, and we want to know if you guys know it, and you're gonna guess it. So what do you think we should call that? Kids guess the song. Kids guessing game. What then?
Rock game.
Rock game. What about kids? How do we let everyone know kids are involved?
Rock kids.
Rock kids. I like that.
Yeah, me too. Rock, let's do rock kids.
Rock kids. All right. Should we go with song number one?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Nervous smiles. Any guesses?
AC/DC?
No, it's a pretty good guess, though. Presley, you got a guess? How about if I play the chorus? That's the start. That's called the intro. I'll play the chorus.
Johnny Cash?
No. No, that is not Johnny Cash. You want me to play the chorus for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Guesses?
The Beatles?
It's not the Beatles. Mm. Not Johnny Cash, not AC/DC. Great artists all in their own right, but it's none of them. What if I told you that was Metallica? For whom the bell tolls.
Next.
Next, she says. All right. Next it is. They're banging their heads to this one. If you like to gamble, I tell you I'm your man. You win. Here's the intro. Any guesses?
AC/DC?
No, that is not AC/DC.
Johnny Cash?
Not Johnny Cash. Can you guys think of anyone else besides AC/DC or Johnny Cash? Maybe I'll play the chorus again for that one. The Ace of Spades is the name of the song. Do you want me to give you a hint?
Yeah.
We heard that one on the way home yesterday.
Malika
I'd say what?
Whatever it's called, it starts with an M.
Metallica.
Yeah.
No, it does start with an M. But it is not Metallica. Motorhead. Motorhead.
Motorhead.
Good, she got it. Good guess. Whew. I feel like I'm not doing a good job as a rock and roll dad here. I need to do a better job educating you guys. I've got my fingers crossed for this one. You're going to get this one. Okay?
Is it someone we know?
Yes, it's someone you know. They like it. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, they're moving to it. That's the intro. You want the chorus?
Yeah. Johnny Cash!
No. It is not Johnny Cash. I must listen to a lot of Johnny Cash at home. Press, do you have any guesses?
I know what it is, but I just can't think of the name.
Yes, you can. You've thought of the name already today.
The Beatles.
No.
Aww. AC/DC.
Yes.
Yes!
They got one. A little push and a little hint, they got one. All right, we're 1-3. AC/DC, Back in Black, a classic. All right, ready?
Yeah.
number 4. Lost them on this one. They're not even looking anymore. I think we're losing them. I can't get no satisfaction. Sammy, you're grimacing. Do you know what a grimace is?
Yeah. No.
it's kind of like a frown. It's like halfway between a smile and a frown. Are you kind of, yeah, and what you're doing right now is a grimace.
Okay.
You don't like that one, I take it.
No.
You weren't moving like you were when it was AC/DC. You guys weren't dancing to that one. Rolling Stones, Satisfaction, 1 for 4. I definitely have failed as a rock and roll dad. I think we're going to skip homework and just do rock and roll education tonight. We're going to listen to music. How about this one? Tell me if you get this one.
I don't have to do homework. Yay.
Okay, let's see. Here's a true test whether I've failed or not in my musical education.
Despacito.
Despacito.
Justin Bieber.
Come and move that in my direction. Thankful for that, it's such a blessing, yeah.
Turn Despacito. Despacito.
Yeah, I've got some work to do here. So we're going to go home and start that rock and roll education. We're going to come back and we're going to redo this again. And you guys are going to do better. You got 1 out of 4 and Justin Bieber, but that doesn't count. Thanks, girls.
Why? Why doesn't it count?
Well, he's not really rock and roll, is he?
No, but it's a good song.
Yeah, music's all subjective, I guess. Any last words?
I don't have to do homework. I don't have to do homework.
What about you, Sammy?
Go rock and roll!
All right. Well, and on that note, thanks, girls, for joining me on Roots of Rock.
Bye. Bye.
Those crazy kids don't know a damn thing about rock and roll. I'll teach them.
Did you hear how fast they got that Justin Bieber song? You know, it really goes to show you that no matter how hard you try, no matter how much good music you play around them, they're going to listen to what they want to listen to. But I'm going to work on them. We're going to get them schooled up properly. And now a message from someone who's not our sponsor.
Computer Technicians Associated is a technical support firm like no other. We get right to the point when training our future technicians.
I had an advanced degree in computer programming and field experience in networking, but I felt that my career was stuck in the mud. Computer Technicians Associated taught me that I was overthinking problems. In 2 weeks, they taught me the only 2 phrases I need to know in order to do computer support. Now, when users have a problem, I just ask them to restart. If that doesn't work, I ask them if it is plugged in. 99% of the time, that fixes the problem. The other 1% of the time, I just hang up the phone. Thank you, Computer Technicians Associated.
Our in-house or online courses are designed to get you working in an information technology support role as fast as possible.
I wanted to become a computer support technician, but had no idea where to start to get my education. I also only had $57.63 in my bank account. Then I found Computer Technicians Associated. I registered, took the course, and graduated within 2 weeks. I had a job within 4 days, which was good, because I only had $4.37 remaining in my bank account after graduating.
Sign up now for a fast track to an easy career through Computer Technicians Associated.
Let's go to that Donna Halper interview now. I recorded this back in early February, and we talked about her days at WMMS and what it was like to first hear Rush and what made her want to play them. Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock. Today, we are lucky to be joined by radio great Dr. Donna Halper. Donna is an associate professor of communications and media studies at Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and she is also a radio veteran and has worked all over North America for some legendary radio stations. In the 1970s, she worked at one of the most legendary of radio stations, WMMS, in Cleveland, Ohio. And during her time there, she was instrumental in discovering and breaking this month's feature artist, Rush. Dr. Donna Halper, welcome to the show.
Hey, what a privilege. If you're featuring Rush, you are okay with me.
So why don't we start off with you describing a little bit of your time at WMMS in Cleveland. What was that like in the mid-70s?
Well, for someone like me, it was tough, okay? I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, okay? Never have, never even tried any of those. And I was in rock and roll radio for the music rather than for the lifestyle. And unfortunately for me, I was in rock and roll radio at a time when smoking, drinking, and doing drugs was part of the entire experience. And I got to tell you, it was kind of lonely for people like me. I'd like to believe I'm not the only person that doesn't do any of those things. There's a lot of people in recovery now, but I just never did. I fell in love with the music years back, and it was just such a privilege to play it. So at first, it was, like I said, kind of tough. And then I discovered Rush, and that changed my life.
And how did you come to discover them? What was that like?
Well, once upon a pond in a kingdom far away, I had the reputation in radio as somebody who always gave a shot to new artists. I liked to play new music. I mean, I had been a DJ at another station before I got to WMMS, and I had made a lot of friends in the Canadian music industry, and in music industries in England and various other places, because back then, playing imports was part of what a good DJ at a progressive station did. And those friendships really stood me in good stead, because when an interesting new band came out, they'd send me a copy of the record, and in many cases, long before anybody in the States got it, because they knew I'd give it some airplay if it was any good. So I had already made friends with record promoters at Canadian labels, and I had played some of their stuff before. So it was not a surprise to me when a guy named Bob Roper sent me this record. It was kind of a homegrown record. And he said, you know, these guys, we got the record up here. They're from Toronto. We think they've got some possibilities, but kind of not ready for prime time. On the other hand, he said, you know, I heard some potential. What do you think? I value your opinion. We've been friends for a while, blah, blah, blah. And he said, like, let me know what you think. And so I put the record on the turntable. It was vinyl back in those days. And I knew immediately, okay? I put the needle down on Working Man. It has been misreported more times than it should that I was looking for a long song because I had to use the ladies' room. That's not true. There was some slang in rock and roll radio back then that a long song was jokingly called a bathroom song. Not necessarily because anyone had to go, but late at night, if you were on the air at most stations, you were alone. There was no automation. There was no nothing. It was you and the turntable. And if you had to answer the call of nature, you needed a long song. But not just any long song. It had to be a good long song. So I was kind of looking for both. I was looking for a song that if my DJs needed a long song, here's a good one. And I put the needle down on Working Man, and yeah, I knew immediately. I thought it was just a perfect record for Cleveland. And as it turned out, I was right. And I ran it downstairs to the DJ who was on the air. My office was upstairs as the music director. And ran it downstairs to the DJ on the air, a guy named Denny Sanders. And we both listened to it. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got to play this. And he played Working Man. And immediately the phones lit up. When's the new Led Zeppelin album coming out? No, not Led Zeppelin, Canadian band, Rush. And that's how it all started. We started getting requests for that song, Working Man, immediately. It really resonated with the audience. You know, when I get up at 7, yeah, and go to work at 9, got no time for living, yeah, I'm working all the time. Cleveland was a factory town back then, and people really identified with Working Man. You know what? That song has aged so well, it still sounds good even today. And then we started playing Finding My Way, and you know, I picked out a couple of other songs on the album. But what ultimately happened, as I'm sure everybody knows, is that out of Cleveland came the fact that American record companies started getting interested in the band. Their little homegrown album on Moon Records got signed to Mercury Records in the States, Polydor, Polygram up in Canada. And I became friends with the band, a friendship that has endured over 43-plus years. And they dedicated their first two albums to me, which was a great honor for me. And you may have seen me in the documentary Beyond the Lighted Stage from 2010. But the bottom line is, if you had told me back when I first played Working Man, back in 1974, that it would lead to, a band that would end up with like 16 gold albums and a star on the Walk of Fame, or B, that I'd end up being friends with the band for more than four decades, I would have said, yeah, right. Because as a music director, you did stuff like this. You played new music. It was your job. But it was very rare to meet three guys who were as humble, as hardworking, and as kind as Rush. And I mean that sincerely, not because we're friends, because I didn't know at the time that we would be. But when I met them, I just knew these were three very special people. And I am so glad that I was able to be even a small part of their success story, not just playing Working Man, but I championed them with other radio stations. I called up stations and said, you really got to give this band a shout. This band is going to be something. And, you know, when Neil joined the band and took them in the direction that they really wanted to go for the next thing, you know, I helped keep people aware of what Rush were doing. And like I said, I never expected it would lead to a friendship. I was just a music director doing my job. But I am really, really proud of what they accomplished. And you know what? It never spoiled them. They are the same down-to-earth, decent human beings now that they were when they first got started out in Cleveland in, like, August of 1974.
So you touched on something there where you were talking about calling other radio stations and sort of promoting the band to them. And such a different world than it is nowadays. So what was that like in those days? How did it go from you playing them at WMMS to other stations throughout the country and even back into Canada playing them again?
Well, I'm glad that you asked, because it is a different world. Okay, back then, there were a number of trade publications. And when I say trade, I mean music industry. Okay, some of your listeners may be familiar with an online publication called allaccess.com, which covers the music industry. They may have heard of Billboard. They may have heard of Variety. There's the Hollywood Reporter, which mostly focuses on film but does touch upon some music. But we had some trade publications that were mainly aimed at album rock. There was a publication called Walrus. There was one called The Hard Report. It was named after a guy named Bill Hard. That was his real name. And several others as well. And if you were a music director, the big one was Radio and Records. You reported your weekly ads, the records that you had added that week. You reported them to the trades. And then other stations would read what you had added, and they might want to emulate if you were a big station like a WMMS in Cleveland or a WBCN in Boston or CHOM FM in Montreal or, you know, stations like that. People would keep an eye on what those stations were adding as they were reported to the trades, and then they'd, like, check those albums out. But there were so many of them back then. There were so many songs that were being released. And sometimes it took a little push from people, like you were asked to make comments in the trades, like, what do you think is going to be the next big thing? What do you think has a song with a lot of potential to it? What should people be looking out for? So I did some of that. But I also took it on a more personal level and actually talked to music directors at other stations and said, hey, you know, did you see our report in Radio and Records this week? I mean, this song is a really good song and you've got to give it a listen, you know, that kind of stuff. And people would do that with us all the time. They'd call us, we'd call them. As I said, it was a very different world. Record promoters would come to your station every week to promote songs. It was a lot more freewheeling. There was a lot more freedom to choose new songs, to choose new artists, to get behind them. That's the part of the industry that I kind of miss.
Are you still a Rush fan today?
Oh, of course. Of course. They're my friends. How would I not be?
Do you have a favorite Rush song that we can play?
You know something? When people ask me that, and no offense to you, but when people ask me that, that's like asking a mom, well, who's your favorite kid? You know? Like, well, you know, I kind of like Charlie, but Fred, nah, I can't stand him. He was always annoying. And Alice, I don't know. So the truth is, I find something on every Rush album. And even though right now they're kind of retired and this and that, I think their music will live on. And I know for a fact that most of it has aged beautifully. For those that haven't seen them, there are still, you know, videos online that you can check out. But when I think of where it all started, I'm sorry, I just got to start with Working Man. Because even though the band changed personnel, even though they went on to do a sort of different, a lot more progressive sound, for me, that's where it started. And when I hear Working Man, I think about that four-decade journey, the lives they changed with their music, the people they touched. So, yeah, let's just take it back to where it began. The first Rush song that got played in the United States, Working Man.
Well, that is perfect because that's what we do on the show is we like to take things back to the roots of the music. So that's a great place to start. And I want to thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you kidding me? My privilege. Thank you for being a fan. Thank you for featuring them. And thank you for giving them the recognition that they deserve. They really are three decent, kind human beings who happen to make some great rock and roll.
Who could ask for any more?
That's it.
Hey, this has been the Roots of Rock monthly jam session for March 2018. Be sure to subscribe and give us a rating on whatever podcast player you may have found us on. Check us out on Twitter at Roots of Rock ST is our handle, or go old school and shoot me an email, rootsofrock@rci.rogers.com. Maybe you've got some cool bit of trivia or a great concert story or something you want to talk about that we've covered on Roots of Rock, and we'll get you on and we'll talk about it. Stay tuned for the beginning of April when we will have a brand new Roots of Rock podcast that I was telling you about earlier, where Shane Vogt from One Bad Son is going to join me. It's going to be amazing. Thanks for hanging out. Rock and roll!